Rabbi Sai, we're going to be doing a little bit of Sifte Zayin, Yud Zayin tonight. And then, of course, we've got a Choshva. No. That was a precondition to that. Yeah. Good. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're looking forward.
Can I ask on the previous seat?
Sure.
One question that occurred to me, and that is, can you do sort of like a harama? Can you get yourself dirty? In order that now I should
leave
it down. Yeah.
So Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. Moshe Feinstein was asked this question about the basketball in America. He said that Moshe didn't like when it was quite, you know, the shower was not that, but if somebody is schwitz like anything, you know, so the boy said, you know, can we just play basketball in order to schwitz that much that you should have afterwards?
He said, that's your exercise. We're not saying
that
you're not allowed to exercise
in that. Yeah, okay. So he's saying even more so that he's basically getting dirty beheta so he can afterwards have a shower. That's really what it is, right? Having zeya, which I don't know, Rabbi. I don't know the answer. I don't know. What do you think?
It's sneaky, but I don't know if it should be.
I think we can manage the 9 days out of school.
I certainly can. I can manage, 350 without sport.
Those cyclists, I can't without being grumpy. I mean, I can't do it without being grumpy.
Right.
I can do it, but
so yes, I suppose if. So then the question is different because then you're not doing it in order to have a shower.
No.
Your question was different. Your question was, can you get dirty? Can you dirt yourself in order to have a shower? That is certainly problematic. But you, somebody, that's part of their seder hayom. That's part of their schedule. There's a strong argument. They said it's fine.
But then I think to myself, it gives me pleasure. So it's a problem.
The shower or the
right gives you.
Do you have to refrain? It's an interesting and important question. Do you have to refrain from pleasures in the 9 days, which are not strictly restricted in the halacha? Do you have to refrain from that?
Maybe
it's not
in
the spirit.
It's not brought in halacha.
Yeah?
So what do we say?
Martin, doesn't mean everything's awesome.
If you don't have a football game, then maybe you
shouldn't
have a football game.
So anything that really gives you a lot of enjoyment, so if so, of course, as a teacher, you really, really enjoy giving you really enjoy teaching. You really enjoy it. Does that mean that a person should...
We can't sit sat off for 9 days. It's bad enough I'm doing it for 1 day.
So things that you really, really enjoy. If somebody enjoys... So would you say that... I mean, I did see the person speaking about smoking in those days that people smoked. So it gives a person, I suppose, a sense of enjoyment. I suppose before it's the addictive stage. Yeah.
Then you zecher need to wash your hands.
Yes. You should be chazir. Yeah, it's an eitzer. Yeah.
So, why is that any
worse? Yes. Somebody say, I think what it's true to say that to say it's forbidden, something that really gives you pleasure. I don't think one can say that cycling for somebody who cycles the whole time or somebody who does pleasurable activity, to say that somebody who does sports every Friday, to say that it's osu, I don't think a person can say that. It's not brought down in halacha that a person has to refrain from pleasurable activities in the 9 days. It's, you're right, but I do agree with you that it's certainly the spirit of the law. I know there's a lot, there is people that... Would you therefore argue that a person who enjoys, people do a lot of things for pleasures. What are hobbies nowadays? I don't know. People enjoy the news, reading something. People enjoy, you know, it's very wide, very broad. You're going to have to be able to distinguish between why is a person allowed to read the newspaper, which is something which he enjoys, and he's not allowed to cycle. Why? So... I don't think one can say that it's awesome. I think it's not the spirit of the law, and I think it's right if a person can stop doing these things that gives them enormous pleasure. But that also I don't think is right. Okay, Rabbi Sai, Sif Yud Zayin. Tov li zoim eloi mashech yonu ben ha-metzorim. This is a new halacha, which is the halacha of refraining from saying shech yonu ben ha-metzorim. Al pri eyal malbush. During those days of Yemei Bein HaMetzorim, a person may not say, it is not may not, he should refrain from saying the Shechiyonu Brocha, al pri, on a fruit, or al malbush, on a new piece of garment. Avol, but, al pidyin aben, but if a person has got the privilege of having a firstborn boy, and the 30th day happens to be in Yimei Bina Metzorim, and therefore wants to do the mitzvah Pidyin HaBen, and thereby, inevitably, part of Pidyin HaBen is also to make Shechiyonu. What are you going to tell it to do him? What are you going to tell him to do? So Shulchan Aruch says, it should do Pidyin HaBen, lo yach mitzvah mitzvah, don't push it off. Do not push it off. Do the Pidyin HaBen, and by all means, make Shechiyonu as well. V'chein b'prit shalei motzach ha-tishabov. If you also have a fruit which you know will not be anymore around after the Shabbat, mutar levarich lechol ben hametzorim, you have to eat it ben hametzorim, despite the fact that you're going to have to make a shechion on it. Rabbi said, to clarify, what is the essence of the is over here? What is the point? Is that the thing? Is it the simcha of wearing a new piece of garment? The simcha of eating a fruit which you haven't eaten for a while? Is that really the point? So it's indirectly true what you're saying, but not directly, because what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here is the issa is to what? To make the bach of Shechiyonu. That is the point. When do we make Shechiyonu? Traditionally, we make Shechiyonu when we have a fruit which we haven't eaten or a new garment. So the point is Shechiyonu. So normally, if it's a fruit which you haven't eaten, you must make a Shechiyonu by eating this fruit. So ideally, delay it so that you don't lose the Shechiyonu. If you can't delay it, because the fruit is not going to be around anymore, Ramah teaches us, all right, so you eat it and make a Shechiyonu. But the point is a Shechiyonu. So let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here in Sifkot and Tzadizayin. Toiv lizoe meloim Shechiyonu. Afal gav dafilu ovel mevach Shechiyonu. Despite the fact that even an ovel is not to make shechion, since this time is a time of puronos, of punishments and agony, it doesn't make sense to make shechionu, v'kiyemonu, v'igyonu, oh, Hashem, thank you for bringing these times. What do you mean, thank you for bringing these times? This is Shavuos Betamos, this is Tisha B'Av, it's bad times, Chodesh Av, it's bad times. So don't make Shechiyonu on the wording is the Zman Hazeh. It's about thanking them for the time. I know, but it's the way we thank is always time bound. We always say Shechiyonu. Yeah.
Rabbi, don't they say you must say Bruch Dein Emes on good or bad times?
Correct.
Ultimately, everything is for the good, except we don't understand it.
Correct.
So don't you say when somebody's nifty, you say Bruch Dein Emes. So
correct.
So even Tisha B'Av, although it's a bad time, can it be not regarded as still in that sense?
Yes, you're right. Of course, on a very high level, somebody who's on that spiritual level, for sure. But on the other hand, when we recite the Baruch of Shechiyonu v'Kiyemonu v'Yigyonu l'Azmen Eivzeh, it's on a simple level. Simple people like us, we thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I can eat this fruit this year. You know, I made it through the year despite the COVID, and I can, you know, I can eat this fruit now, or I can have this new garment which I didn't possess last year. So we thank Hashem for the times. That is inappropriate to say in the 9 days. And you may be not sorry. Rabbi Yisai, and here comes the question. We don't always make Shechiyonu. It's a parallel bracha that we make at times. What's that bracha? The parallel bracha to Shechiyonu. That's right. Hatoiv ve'hameitiv. We also sometimes make Hatoiv ve'hameitiv. When do you make Hatoiv ve'hameitiv? And when do you make Shechiyonu? Very good. So elaborate. Yeah. So an example will be? Yeah, that's a bit of a discussion, but in principle, you're right, yes? Who's going to benefit?
Everyone.
Yeah? So the point is, the Gemara discusses, that Toiv HaMeitiv is a bracha which is being said when you get something which is a great enjoyment for not only yourself, but for others around you. You make a Toiv V'hameitiv ha'toiv, for yourself, ha'meitiv for others. In the parallel bracha to that, Shechiyonu was showing the beautiful example I always like, Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, which talks about a car. So when he asks Moshe Feinstein, what bracha do you make on the new car? If you buy yourself a new car, what bracha do you make? And he says, well, it depends. If you're buying yourself a sports car, which only has two seats, Lamborghini, which can go through. There's hardly any space besides yourself. There's not much space in there. So that is a bracha going, that's for yourself. You enjoy that noise for some unknown reason. People enjoy that noise that goes right deep in your ear and irritates enormously. For some people, I don't know where that comes from. What? Power. That's what it is. Power. So that enjoys this. So if somebody enjoys that, then he should, by all means, he should make a bracha of Shechionu. Shech, I get myself a Lamborghini, which cost how much? 50k, 70k. How much? I don't know. I don't have that many. What? How much?
More than that. He's got two seats. Right.
I don't know, I've never been in one. So you make Shechiyonah because you're enjoying this car. You make Now, however, says Moshe Feinstein, he talks about sports car. But if you're buying yourself a seven-seater, you know, that is for you, for your family, for your wife, for the rotors, for the, you know, all the day-to-day. You put the shopping, your wife is going. If it's a family car, he says you're going to enjoy it, your wife is going to enjoy it, the kids are going to enjoy it, you know, it's for everybody to benefit and enjoy it. He said that's going to make Hatoiv. That's the bracha between Hatoiv Ameitiv and Shechiyonu. Yes, you're right, there's a discussion about when you have a boy, a girl. Okay, but that's it. So therefore, I'll say 1 second, I just want to get Steve 1 minute, I just want to get to the point. What is therefore the halacha? So the example is given over here is if you get yourself a new garment, who is going to wear it? I enjoy my new garment. Shechiyonu, new fruit, who's going to enjoy it? I'm going to eat it. What about a toiv ha'meitiv? Can you make a toiv ha'meitiv? Or not? So what would be an example for a new toiv ha'meitiv? You buy yourself something which, air conditioning, that's an example of that. Shlomo Zalman speaks about, you get a new air conditioning in the house, and you're therefore going to make, you know, what bracha do you make a toiv ha'meitiv? Who's going to enjoy it? Whoever's at home, right? Your wife, your kids are probably going to enjoy it more than you even. You know, you're going to be a... Well, you make a Toiv HaMeitiv. You don't make Shechiyonu in air conditioning. You make a Toiv HaMeitiv. So, could you make an Toiv HaMeitiv in the... You may be in a Matzorim. Or not?
It's not brought down that
you can't. Absolutely. And the answer is you can. The only problem is that a Shechiyonu, the problem is not that... Yeah? So the answer is you can. Stephen, what did you want to say?
Going back to a family car, let's say you've got enough money, you can buy a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, class, and a four-seater, so you can get your family in there. But it's going to give you personally a lot of pleasure, you're going to show off, but it's going to give your wife pleasure and your children.
So I suppose the answer is that since others enjoy it as well, and others benefit from it as well, the correct bracha will be Hatoiv HaMeitiv. However, if you really feel you're doing it for yourself, and you're just really, it's really for your own ego, and that if the real reason is for your own ego, then I suppose the bracha will be Shechiyonu. But as a basic answer is, if others enjoy and others benefit from it, the correct bracha is Hatoiv HaMeitiv.
I'll let you know when I get my car, my Bentley. Then.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Tell me what I should say.
Okay, yeah, when we get there, absolutely, yeah. You're more likely to get that, to get it before me. You're more likely to get it before me. I want to just mention briefly with regards to garments. Garments and so are we basically saying that we can't buy new garments from Shavuos or Tammuz? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
So what happens what
garments do we make Shechiyonu on?
Suit.
So you can't buy a new suit from Shavuos or Tammuz until Tishah B'av, you can't buy a new suit. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I didn't say that. I just said a suit you might make.
Yeah. Oh, that's also very true. So there's no very correct. So the poskim can say there's no restriction in purchasing. If you don't make the Shechiyonu of Shech, you don't make the Brach of Shechiyonu, when you buy things. It's a discussion as well. But pashtus, you make the bracha when you wear it. That's when you enjoy it. You don't enjoy the suit hanging in the cupboard. So buying is probably okay. We're going to see that closer to... You're not allowed to wear it, so just purchasing is probably okay. Certainly before Chodesh Av. So buying is probably okay. Now, but more than that, I want to mention as well, just as a footnote, I heard a rumor that, this is going back probably 2 or 3 years ago, that the Gates thereof then, who is currently the Rabbi Dan Zimmerman, so I heard a psak from him that he says you can't make shechion anymore on garments. Why? Because because garments normally is what used to be when, you know, the tailor would come and make to measure and everything to measure. That's when he gives you, you know, tailor made, perfect, everything, and you get great enjoyment. It's going to last you a few years, and that's really the enjoyment of a garment. However, nowadays where everything is, how long do they last? So it's part of the same hat. Like you don't make shechion on a shirt, you're also not going to make shechion on trousers. I heard this psak, and I said I don't believe it. Sounds like an extraordinary chiddush. But I said, you know what? It's not so hard to find out. Sent him an email and asked him, and he said, yeah, absolutely correct. I was sure he was going to deny it, but he didn't. He said, absolutely correct. So he feels that nowadays you can't make a brach on
garments. For a suit, which may last for 5 years, or for a hat, which may even last longer if you look after it.
Yeah.
That same thing applies.
Yeah, so it gets very, very vague and everything. I just want to bring as a footnote, it's not so poshut what necessarily is categorized as a garment.
What's the reason behind this? Is that because of...
lack of chashivas. Yeah, lack of simcha, Lack of simcha. Right. Yeah, it looks like it's a bit of, it looked like it was a bit of both. But Rabbi said that's it for this evening because we are going to pass on the mic for a very chosh. We're looking forward to the story.
I was slightly coerced into this at short notice, so please don't judge. I think the Rav said last year or 2 years ago a very well-known vault about the macholos Tmeis that are found in this week's Sedra. It says Ve'esach Hasida is one of the 20 birds that are not allowed for consumption. And Rashi says that the word Hasida comes from the word Chesed. So what is this type of bird? Sounds like it's a refined bird, Chesed. Rashi says it's Oise Chesed im Chavrusa. It only does Chesed with its min, and it doesn't do Chesed with a different minim. And therefore, it's disqualified because it only likes its own. So with this vort, I saw a very nice story. I think we can attach it to the story. The story is about 6 years old. It was written in, people speak, the latest one, it says it's 6 years old. So there was a fellow, let's call him Moshe, he wakes up on Motzei Shabbos, 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's feeling very sick, very nauseous. He runs to the bathroom and he starts coughing and vomiting, and he notices that he's vomiting some blood. His wife wakes up in the commotion, and they're very worried, and they don't know what to do. And the wife suggests, maybe you should call the local doctor. But this is at 1 o'clock in the morning. So the discussion was, should they do it? And the wife made a pshara, and they said, let's let the phone ring twice, and after that, not bother anymore. And if it's been a Shemaim, he'll answer it. The phone rang once, and the doctor answered. Hello? So he said, I'm coughing, and I'm feeling very nauseous, coughing blood. The doctor says, coughing blood, go straight to accident and emergency. Go to the nearest hospital, accident and emergency. This is in Eretz Yisrael, which is uncharacter-wise of the doctor. So they listened to him, and they went to accident and emergency. The medic sees them, and the medic also looks very worried, and takes a number of tests, and says, look, I don't think you're in danger, but we're going to need to do a series of tests. Go and wait in the waiting room. You'll probably be here all night. And they go take a seat in the waiting room, and they're watching the people coming in and coming out. It's very interesting to see. And there's one person who sticks out, a friar gentleman, a non-religious person, and he is pacing up and down, totally confused, totally disorientated. He's tzemisht and tzechisht. He stands out. And they're twiddling their thumbs, waiting for the time to pass. And the Rebbetzin tells Moshe, he says, why don't you go and ask him what's wrong with him? He says, don't be silly, he's got... He says, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, a few minutes pass, and then the Rebbetzin says, this week's Parshas Vayeshev. I'll tell you what we learned in Sem about Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef was walking past in the jail, and he sees two grumpy-looking people, and he stops them, and he says, Madua Panechem Roem Hayoim. And then they go and tell him the whole story, the whole dream. And because of the whole dream, Yosef gave the Pisarin, which was the meaning of the dream, which eventually allowed the person who was standing in front of the dreamer who was standing in front of Pari to tell him there's a person called Yosef. Eventually, it lets Yosef become the Melech of Mitzrayim, which allows the Shvatim. And it's amazing things happen because of what? Because of this one question, well, what's wrong? Madua Panechem Roem Hayoim. So here's his Robertson, he's got no choice now. He walks over to the fellow. Hi, I noticed, is everything okay? And this guy starts telling him all his woes. Come on, I'm his gabber. He says, I've never been so stressed in my life. This is what happened. My son, 16-year-old son, was messing around in the house, and he cut two of his fingers. And I came running to the hospital. I've got a bag with two of his fingers. We went to the doctor, and the doctor said, this is the ultimatum. I'll tell you what you need to do. Either, one of two things, either We don't operate, and he's lost two fingers, and you can function with three. You can function a normal life with three, it'll be irritating, but you can. Or we operate, we'll have to do it right away. But there's a risk, and the risk is that we mess up the operation, and his hand will be paralyzed. You've got half an hour to decide. That's why this fellow's running up and down. And now, you see this Moshe standing there, what have I let myself into now? What am I supposed to tell him now? So he said, but what about your wife? Don't bring my wife into a shield. She'll be screaming at me. He said, no, it's the wrong thing to do now to ask my wife. So he said to him, have you heard of a person called Meilech Fira? So Meilech Fira is extremely, extremely well-known in Eretz Yisrael amongst the Frumas and beyond. And let's just say that he's the head and the founder of Ezra Marpe. So he said, look, I've heard of him, but I've got no connection to him whatsoever. And he's Haredi. So the guy said, Moshe says to him, okay, look, I know someone who works in his office for an assistant of his. Do you mind if I try? I don't mind. A few minutes left. So this is now, I don't know, after 1 o'clock, up at one, and he calls somebody who he knows. It was late at night. And Moshe's talking on the phone. And you hear him, yeah, okay, Puts the phone in the eye. Phone down, and... the Chiloni guy says, so I don't know, maybe Fira will call. His name is Meilech Fira. 4 minutes later, Meilech Fira calls. And they speak and they speak and speak. And then the phone's given over to the guy, to the Chiloni. And he tells the Chiloni the following, let me see if I've got the Loshen. He said to him, this is what you need to do. The operation will be done, but not in this hospital. Go now to the admittance desk, get your son released from the hospital, take him and the fingers to Asaf HaRoi Hospital as fast as you can. An expert surgeon is waiting there to perform the surgery. They look at each other, and Moshe says, go, go. So he said to him, what's your number? He quickly tells him his number, and he goes. Okay. And at this part of the stage, at this stage of the story, Moshe doesn't know anything about what happened. No idea. He goes back for his tests. At 4:30, he's discharged from the hospital. They say, nothing wrong with you, go home. He goes home, and he thinks, should I go back to sleep? No, I can go to Netz. He goes to Netz, and who's there? His doctor. So the doctor says, what happened? So he said, I went to accident and emergency, and it's fine. So he said, by the way, why did you tell me to go to accident and emergency? So he said, I happened to be up at 1 o'clock. I couldn't fall asleep. I was reading a medical journal. The medical journal said something about almost exactly the same case, somebody vomiting blood. And it says there was a misdiagnosis by a doctor, and it was really a perforated intestine. And the guy died a few hours later. And it's Min HaShemayim. You asked me, and I thought, you've got to go to accident and emergency. I normally would have said, forget it, don't worry, time heals. But I read this, so you know you've got to go. And he's thinking to himself, wow, what a strange set of events. One after the other, it's Mamish Min HaShemayim that he should save this guy. Okay, he forgets about it. 3 months later, he sees a nice car roll up outside his house in a Frum neighborhood where there's hardly any cars. But he sees a fleet of beautiful cars.
And all the kids are like, jog you are, jog, you know, all this class. And then he sees that it's the person that's the chidonia that he saw. And the whole bunch of people start walking upstairs. And he's thinking, okay, well, is it good or bad? No idea. Opens the door for them, and they hug him and they kiss him. He said, this is my father, this is my wife, this is my kid, this is my child, this is... He said, I want you to know, today is the day where he was put into... They did the operation, he was put into a cast, and 3 months later, we were allowed to take the cast off, and today's the day they take the cast off, and it's like new. His fingers are working, everything beautiful to the rabbi. So he's really, really excited, really happy, and then he says, by the way, when I went to this Asaf HaRofe hospital, as I came in, the doctor was waiting for me, and they said, okay, come inside, how do you know Rabbi Fira? And he says, I don't. What? You don't know Rabbi Fira? Because he arranged for you to have an emergency theater, emergency situation. Normally it would have cost $10,000 in a private clinic. So he said, I thought to myself, if this works, I'm going to come and give you $10,000. There's a big wad of money, $10,000. And Moshe says, don't even think of it. My one big massive mitzvah that I can have, don't even think of it. Take your money away now. And the little kid, the 16-year-old boy with his fingers working, he walks over to him and he said, my father knew you would say that. Okay? So I want to give you this. It's a piece of paper. Read the piece of paper. He said, if you don't accept the $10,000, then this is what I'm going to do. I am going to do a mitzvah with my hand for the rest of my life. And it will be tefillin. My father didn't buy me tefillin for the bar mitzvah. And I know it will probably mean a big deal to you, so I'm going to wear tefillin for the rest of my life. Okay. So the guy said, that was the biggest simcha that you could bring me to the Rabbah. And they left. But they had each other's numbers. And not so long went past. And Moshe was making a simcha. And at the simcha, he invited the chilani and the son to come, and they came and they put the yarmulkes on. And at the end, towards the end, they came over to Moshe and they said, look, you don't want to accept for your mitzvah, that's fine. But you got to accept for the couple. You're making a chasana. Everyone's giving you, you got to accept for the couple. Here's an envelope. And Moshe says, thank you, puts the envelope. He has other envelopes there, he puts it into his pocket. And the chasana finishes, kedar kai late, and everyone's in a rush to go out. And him and his mechutin are there doing their things. Moshe goes over to the photographer and he says, right, here is, I'm starting to write a check. And the photographer says, paid for. So he thought, oh, my mechutin paid for the photographer. Okay. Then he goes over to the band, he wants to pay for the band, paid for. He goes over to the flowers, paid for, the hall, paid for. And he's thinking, maybe the cheshbon of the mechutin was he's going to pay everything and they'll sit down a bit later and they'll work it out. So he thought, okay, I haven't got the head now, but we'll speak tomorrow, we'll see each other at the show runs. He goes home, and when he looks at the envelopes that he has, one envelope, two, the second envelope, third envelope, he sees, right, all the invoices. Photographer paid by the Chilani guy. Everything was paid by the Chilani guy. Okay. Very nice, beautiful story. Just to end off, the one addendum to the story is that a letter came about a year later, and the letter said, dear Moshe, obviously we thank you for the rest of our lives for what you did. My son made a promise to put on tefillin for the rest of his life. And I want you to know, we are so sorry, we're so distraught. There was about 7 days that he didn't manage to do that. But we did it for the whole year. But for 7 days, he didn't manage to do that. And we're really, really sorry. And the father says, for that, you think if I would put on tefillin for 10 days, it would be like a hashlama, it would be tashlumin for my son. That's what he asked. So he got on the phone and he said, look, okay, so you... At least you're putting in Finland in. At least I know that in the future you're going to. So he said, what happened? So he said, well, we went away for Pesach. And we forgot our Finland at home. So he said, you went away for Pesach? So you know you don't put on Finland Pesach? No. So I wanted to, perhaps the attachment of this story, which is a beautiful story to the world, is that sometimes we need to do chesed, with, even if it's Ein Amina, if it's not Yemen. And it could bring massive Kiddush Hashem and amazing things.
Yeah.